A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 15th of September 2020, Tuesday class. As usual, we'll continue with our Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at page 205, 3.3, on meditation. So the heading is, meditation is not about right and wrong. So the purpose of meditation is to actually train the mind to develop the stability of mindfulness, to develop the wisdom, the understanding, and the awakening. Okay, we will start off with the puja as usual before we continue with the half an hour of awareness-based meditation followed by the Dhamma sharing. Okay. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sakya Muni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sakya Muni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sakya Muni Pho. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Bhusan Pusa. Namo Bhusan Pusa. Namo Bhusan Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipano Bhagavato Saukasango Sanghang Namami Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adina Dana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Usavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Sadhu Sadhu สาธุโอเคแล้วสเปรสเปกทริปเจนปดังปเจมิดัมังปเจมิสังหังปเจมิโอเคยังแค่บิสกันWe all have our usual half an hour of awareness based meditation. Eh? Okay, we are off the light. Then you can have your half an hour of awareness based meditation. Now, why is that coming? Is it okay? Eh? Okay. Just relax body and mind. Eh? Maintain awareness of the dead. Then just silence.Everything. Don't try to know. The longer you can stabilize the awareness, the clearer will be your sati. Sati is the silent mind without thought, without the arising of thinking. When there is no thinking, you are naturally mindful, aware. So thePurpose of meditation is very simple when you understand this. You only need to relax body and mind completely at ease and let things be. Thought, if they arise, let it arise. Then whatever mental movement, let it arise. Do not resist. Do not suppress. Do not control. Then by having this understanding,You just silence everything and maintain awareness. Then the silence will start to develop. Initially, maybe for those who are still not trained, you will tend to have some form of thinking going on because within your daily life, you are not able to maintain heedfulness or mindfulness. Most of the time, you are lost in thought, heedlessly thinking,reacting, stirring your mind. So all this create habitual tendency, create mental hindrance. Then with your deluded thinking, wrong view, you tend to create more and more reactive response to memory. So your reaction to sense experienceWhatever you recollect or recall through memory, create thinking. That's why thought is response to memory. Then all of your views, opinion, and conditioning will condition you to react to whatever thought that arises, to whatever sense perception that you give rise to. So when you try to meditate, you realize you can't. Thought keep on.Arising. So when you understand all this, then you will behave differently. You just let things be. Don't try to do anything and let the mind settle down. Let the thinking slow down until it really becomes very quiet, very still. And all this happens because you lack the spiritual faculties. When you lack the spiritual faculties,The opposite five mental hindrance, they will arise. And when mental hindrance arise, they will prevent your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. That's why it's called mental hindrance. It has the tendency to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. Okay?You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner awareness, and inner mindfulness for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to develop the daily mindfulness, to stabilize your sati, daily mindfulness, so that the real meditation in the midst of life can arise.Meditation is not about right and wrong. Okay. There's a question, Gratitude. When I meditate, I don't feel any pain anymore, but I'm aware of thought. When aware, I tell myself to be silent and go back to anapanasati. Is that correct? So the person who asked this question is not sure. So he wants to confirm there is always that uncertainty. We call this doubt. So when you have doubt, you cannot meditate. I have already explained meditation need to be done with understanding. You must understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. Because if you do not understand what is meditation, how can you do it? You can't. So we have gone through this many times. You really need to develop that understanding so that before you start the meditation, you exactly know what you're supposed to do. Otherwise, how can you develop it? Then you will have such questions. Is this correct? Am I doing it right? When you don't have the understanding of what is meditation and you are not clear about what you are doing in the name of meditation, then this question definitely arises. So going back to the training, we already established very clearly from the Buddha's teaching, we established what is meditation as taught by the Buddha. Dhammapada verse 21 makes it very clear. The Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So when we understand this, we understand the importance of heedfulness. So all of meditation starts with training the mind to be heedful. And what is heedfulness? Like the Buddha explained under Dhammapada verse 23, heedfulness has two parts, ever mindful and constantly meditative. So first, you have to establish your mind, train it to be mindful first. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. So if you know these are the two things that you have to do first, then check, are you doing it? If you are not doing it, means you have done something else. You do not understand what is meditation. Then after you have the mindfulness developed, then you can stabilize it to be ever mindful. Only you can use that meditative mind to meditate. That's the second part. So the meditation as taught by the Buddha is Noble Eightfold Path. So ever mindful and constantly meditative means ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path within that meditative training. Are you doing that in the form of meditation and in the daily mindfulness meditation throughout the day? Are you heedful? If you are not heedful, that is not meditation. If you are heedful, then you use that trained mind that is ever mindful to meditate, then that is the correct way to do it. Then the question does not arise. So this is very important. Always remember the basic behind meditation. You are training your mind to be ever mindful. How you do it is a different matter. For those who don't have the spiritual faculties, the five spiritual faculties, you will have problem with meditation because the opposite five mental hindrance will arise. And when they arise, you cannot maintain mindfulness because mental hindrance are mental states that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. So how can you meditate? That's the problem. And most people don't understand this. So when they try to meditate, they realize they think a lot. The mind wanders off very fast. they are very heedless. So mental hindrance condition heedless thinking. Mental hindrance hinders your mind. So if that is the case, then what must you do? You must cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty. And this one you have to do it before you start your meditation. So while you go through your pariyatti and patipatti, means the first phase of Dhamma and second phase of Dhamma, you must develop this understanding, then train your mind to be mindful so that it can be in the state of heedfulness. So this is very important. So after establishing this, then you know what is meditation, then you can train your mind. So to train your mind is very easy. You need spiritual faculties, Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. So this spiritual faculty, you need to do it in the ordinary state of your puja activity, within the ordinary daily mindfulness. And also, as you cultivate the Buddha Dharma, means following all the essential Dhamma, the teaching of the Buddha, to develop the faith leading to the spiritual faculty of Saddha. Then when Saddha is there, it will drive you to cultivate. That's how Virya arises. Then when Virya arises, it will drive you to meditate, means to develop Sati. To develop Sati, there are many ways. The fastest way, the easiest way, is to just relax and maintain awareness. Then sati will fall into place. Without thought, you're already in sati. You're already mindful. So this understanding is very important. But people don't understand this. So in order not to allow the mind to think and wander off, they have to concentrate. They have to focus. They have to do something. That's how they give rise to meditation object, method, technique, to anchor the mind so that this mind does not wander off, so that they can fix the mind to do something. But this is just a skillful means to fix the mind. It's actually meant to develop mindfulness. That's why when the Buddha introduced Anapanasati, is to train your mind to be mindful of your in and out breath. That's it. Then Kayanupassana is to be mindful of your kaya, your activity of your physical body. So when you are aware, without thought, that is sati. That is what the Buddha is teaching. He didn't ask you to focus on the nostril or the tip of the nostril or feel the sensation and all things. He never say that. He just say breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. Whatever you do, you maintain mindfulness. Kaya Nupassana means all action, all movement in the present moment. That is the training. So initially is to anchor your mind to your kaya, so that you can develop mindfulness, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, leading to heedfulness. So that is the main intent. So whether it's anapanasati or chanting or whatever, you ask yourself, am I doing the training to develop a mind that is aware, mindful, so that I can stabilize it to be ever mindful? If you are doing that, then you are developing the meditation. So the first thing that you have to do to develop the meditation is to have the heedful mind. To have the heedful mind, you must be ever mindful, constantly meditating. So to be ever mindful, you have to develop and train the mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. That's why whatever you do, whatever skillful means, whether method or technique or what, that is not the meditation. That is just the skillful mean to initially train your mind. You can train your mind to be aware. And you are doing the meditation. That's the reason why meditation needs understanding. So understanding is very important. Understanding leading to the stability of mindfulness. To be ever mindful. Okay? Now we go back to the text. Huh? Then I will read to you the answer, then you will understand. So meditation is not about right and wrong, but it is more towards realizing wisdom that can free our mind from all suffering. When you are just silent and aware, you are heedful. And in that heedful state, you can develop a lot of understanding via observing your own form and mind without any judgment or command. You only need to continue doing anapanasati when you need to train your mind to be aware so that it is not heedless. Once your heedfulness has already stabilized, technically, you don't need to hold on to the anapanasati training anymore. Similarly, for the mind sweeping method and metta exercise too, it's the same. For they are just skillful means to train the mind. The key is relaxation of both the body and mind, followed by the silent mind, leading to the tranquility state of mind that has clarity and awareness within to see things as they are, thereby realizing the wisdom. So meditation has four important support, and they are relax, aware, 24-hour or continuity of meditation, and trust. So this four support is for awareness-based meditation. And this is the fastest. This one don't need method, don't need technique, don't need any skillful means. You go into the meditation straight away. By relaxing body and mind, then maintain awareness means no more thinking. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Because the knowing is always by the thought. The doing is also by the thought. So when thought is active, how can you be mindful? So all thought-based meditation will not lead to awareness-based meditation, will not lead to heedfulness. So you need to have this understanding to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this is the part. Then what I have summarized to you is the final meditative understanding. Unless you are silent and aware, you cannot meditate. You cannot develop the wisdom and the understanding. The key to meditation is awareness or sati, which is also the first factor of enlightenment. With awareness, you can develop the understanding of why your mind is like that. How it is conditioned to react to sense experience via your right and wrong. It is conditioned to react to sense experiences via your wrong and deluded views and opinions of things. That is Dhamma investigation. Inquire deep into what you are doing during the meditation. What is the I and the me all about? Why did the Buddha say it is sakkayaditti or self-delusion that conditions suffering? What are the thoughts? Why are your thoughts so active, so judgmental and intrusive? And why can't they just let things be? The moment you are aware, the Dhamma will come to you. Understand it and awaken to it. Relax and be with the moment in silent awareness to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life and existence. Once you realize, you will know how to accord and flow. Then you will not be afflicted anymore. Hence, life becomes very meaningful and very beautiful. All this can be understood if you are not deluded. See how your attachment and craving arise during your meditation when you lack wisdom. Most cultivators attach to the good and calm meditation. They hold on to all the things that their minds has created via their consciousness and its content. Not knowing these things are all impermanent and empty, thus causing suffering the moment they grasp onto them. Through this meditative Dhamma sharing, you can develop wisdom much faster. Otherwise, it will take you a long time to understand the full picture of the cultivation yourself. These short notes are very useful, and all of you must read through them again and again to stabilize your understanding. Similarly, for the recorded talks, you must listen to them again and again to develop the clear understanding of the Dhamma share. This is how you can progress along the path of Dhamma. So, to really develop understanding of the Dhamma and progress along the path of Dhamma, you need to work hard. You need to be diligent. You need to be sincere. You need to have the faith, the perseverance. It's not just listen to Dhamma talk and after that finish. No. Even those who have the past, after they listen to Dhamma talk, they will contemplate, they will reflect. Then they will do a lot of training on their own. They will do research. Then they will investigate the Dhamma. Then they will develop the meditative training, the daily religious routine, stability of daily mindfulness. Unless your daily mindfulness has been developed until it is very, very stable and very clear, there is no way you can progress. There is no way you can develop the wisdom and the true understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. So this is the reason why I always said, first, this pariyatti, the learning of the teaching. So through listening to Dhamma, through reading all these Heart Sutta short notes, through participating in all the classes, Dhamma classes or Dhamma sharing, you develop the understanding, the phase one of Dhamma, the learning of the teaching. Then when you have the clear understanding of the teaching, you have to move on to the second phase, which is Patipatti. Patipatti is to put this teaching into practice, into cultivation, to develop the clear understanding and stability of meditative mind, to awaken, to insight into phenomena, to realize the truth, thereby allowing you to straighten your view, to root out your wrong view, your evil roots, your delusion. Not until you have the ability to do that, you cannot awaken, you cannot realize, you cannot become enlightened. You must have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. You must cultivate until all these Noble Eightfold Path qualities are with you. You are ever mindful, constantly meditative. You have the embodiment of this Noble Eightfold Path, means the three spiritual right view, Kamma Niyama, Dhamma Niyama, and Citta Niyama. Yeah. Then after having right view, your meditation will take off. Because when you have right view, you know how to cultivate. You know how to develop your meditative training. So all the three right views are very important. From right view, you will understand how you function as a human being, how nature's law arise how they govern life and existence. Especially the law of karma. From the law of karma, the advice of the Buddha comes about, Dhammapada verse 183. Then after that, the second right view, law of mind, where you understand how you function as a human being, how your mind arises and passes away, how your mundane mind actually develops the movement, the activity. It's only through meditative training, a very stable daily mindfulness that can allow you to see the paticca samuppada, the dwelling. How, as explained by the Buddha, your mind actually functions. How dependent on ignorant mental activity arises, avijja paccaya sankhara. Then how sankhara condition mental consciousness, sankhara paccaya viññānam. Then when you input the content of consciousness, viññānam paccaya namarūpaṁ, the five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect. Mental, five aggregates of form and mind. And dependent on the arising of this five mental aggregate of form and mind, there must be sense basis, otherwise they can't arise. That's why namarupam paccaya salayatana. And dependent on the sense basis, contact arise. So this is how the dwelling actually move. But they are so fast because this move at such a fast speed. It's faster than the speed of light, actually. Yeah. Without a stable mindfulness, you cannot cope. You cannot understand what is going on. So you need a very stable mindfulness, the awareness that is clear enough, stable enough, sensitive enough to see all this, to understand all this. Then after you have understood the dwelling, you still need to understand the essential Dhamma. All these essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach, they are spin-off from the Four Noble Truths, the essence of his teaching. So the Four Noble Truths are also very important teaching. These are the essence of the Buddha's teaching. When you understand the Four Noble Truths, you understand life. That this Four Noble Truths summarize to us the secret of life, all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. So these three right view will give you a very firm foundation to develop the full picture, understanding of meditation and the Four Noble Truth cultivation. These are noble truths that can make you noble one when you awaken to them, when you have cultivated them. So Four Noble Truths and its three turning will give rise to the three type of wisdom, corresponding wisdom that the Buddha talked about. The first turning lead to Suttamaya Panya, wisdom born of listening to the sutta or hearing the sutta. Then the second turning is contemplative wisdom. The Buddha called it Chintamaya Panya, wisdom born of contemplation, born of inquiry and reflection. Then the third turning is always the meditative. The Buddha called it Bhavana Maya Panya. Bhavana is the meditative training. Bhavana. Panya is wisdom. So wisdom born of the meditative training is the third turning. And this one is very penetrative, very powerful. When you awaken to it through the third turning, you will have very stable wisdom, very deep wisdom. Then that one will allow you to root out all defilements. Then your wisdom stabilizes very fast. Your understanding stabilizes very fast. Then from that moment onward, you will transform. Your mind liberated, no longer deluded. The phenomenal world of consciousness and form will have no power over you. That's how enlightenment in the here and the now can happen, can arise. So basically, what you need is this summary, the whole picture of his teaching, starting from right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then you cultivate the four right effort. And after that, right mindfulness and right samadhi. Then you will cover the whole range of Noble Eightfold Path training. So Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, and the whole teaching is within the Noble Eightfold Path too. Because the eight path factor, they are all noble qualities of a noble one or enlightened one. When you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, you are an enlightened being. You are very noble in every aspect of life. Right view will give you the right understanding of life, the wisdom part. And right thought will make you very noble in the way you arise your thought process. Then right action and right speech and right living or right livelihood will give rise to the right way for you to establish yourself, to communicate with people. That's how you will have these noble qualities of right thought leading to right speech, right action, and right living or right livelihood. Then the four right effort is automatic, because based on the right view, you will know how to arise the four type of right effort to purify your thought process, to develop the virtue, the wholesomeness. When you cultivate four right effort, you actually avoid all evil, do good. That's how you perfect yourself. Then after that, you need mindfulness to develop the meditation to awaken. Yeah. Mindfulness needs to be supported by samadhi, the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind, the mind that does not stir at the moment of sense experience. That's why you need to have samadhi before the wisdom arises. Otherwise, you cannot develop wisdom. If there is not enough samadhi, your mind cannot be collected and unwavering at the moment of sense experience. So in the midst of life, when you go through life, you cannot develop the understanding. At every moment of sense experience, your mind waver, your mind stir, your mind is not collected. So the inability to have samadhi will prevent you from having the ability to insight into phenomena, to see things as they are before the interference from your memory, your views, your conditioning, your belief system, your opinion of things. So all these are related to meditation, related to Noble Eightfold Path. So to have clarity of mind, you must be aware. And when you are ever mindful, you have stability or awareness, so that you can be constantly aware or ever mindful in the midst of life. Then when you are able to stabilize that mindfulness until your mind enters deep, then everything you do is in sati. Every moment of seeing is in sati. Every moment of hearing is in sati. Every moment of smell, taste, tactile, or arising of thought process, you are in the state of sati. Your mindfulness is there. You see them very clearly, and you're very sensitive. Mindfulness is equivalent to clarity and sensitivity. When you are mindful, you cannot think. You are just aware. And when you are aware, you can awaken, because you can observe. The silent mind can observe the movement. Then you can, through the observation, develop understanding, awakening. Then you understand exactly how your mundane mind due to ignorance, due to wrong view, how it is conditioned into karmic negativity, how the mental hindrance arise, how the evil roots arise, how fear arise, how emotional negativity arise, how you get yourself entangled through wrong view, how you attach, cling and grasp onto things, give meaning, and how you entangle yourself until you become afflicted, miserable. That's what dukkha is all about, suffering is all about. Then sometimes people become so deluded, they cling their grasp until it is so severe. They develop not only sorrow, lamentation, misery, until they become depressed. That's how depression set in. That's how mental ill, mental suffering, misery comes in. So all of this very severe suffering of mind can arise when you are deluded. Not only you suffer, you develop that sorrow, that lamentation, that misery. Then you become like so depressed. So after that, what happens? Suicidal thought will arise. That's how a lot of these mental patients, they prefer to die. So suicidal thought can be very, very detrimental to human life. So all these are a result of their intensity of fear, worry, and anxiety. And these are very negative mind states that can trigger off what they call negativity or energy field that can lower your immune system, especially fear, sorrow and lamentation, anxiety, leading to panic attack and all those things. All these are very severe mind state. But only people with delusion and ignorance have this type of mind states. For those who have the Dhamma, their mind are different. They are heedful, ever mindful, constantly meditative, have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. Their mind is constantly meditative, ever mindful, with clarity, tranquil, still. They have a lot of joy, a lot of understanding. That's how joy come about. Wisdom and understanding give rise to joy. And joy is something that you need. That's why when you are mindful, you have a lot of pity. Pity is a very beautiful mental state. They call it the meditative spiritual joy or spiritual calmness. Then sometimes it's like, make you so joyful, so happy. It's like rapture inside you, your mind state. So sometimes they call it your mind rapture. So it's a very beautiful mind state. So these are the possibility of training the mind until you have this embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path, then leading to the enlightenment and the awakening. Then your mind states become beautiful, your understanding become beautiful, and you become a noble one, an enlightened one. Then you get to experience the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda. Now, Pativeda is the most beautiful phase of your life. After you have developed the training of the mind, the meditative training and awaken, then you get to live the life of enlightened being, to enjoy the fruit of your hard work. That is the phase of Pativeda. So it's all in the Heart Sutta notes, I think in the appendix, yeah, the three turning, the three type of corresponding wisdom together with the three phases of Dhamma, then I even describe the third phase of Dhamma. That phase is the most beautiful phase of your life. You get to really live life to the fullest, experience life to the fullest. So life can really become very meaningful, very beautiful, very wonderful when you are able to develop all this Dhamma understanding leading to the liberation of mind or awakening, enlightenment in the here and now. And all this is possible. So with this, I think we end the Heart Sutta notes, page 206, is the last page of the 41 lesson. Then the balance is appendix. This appendix also is quite long. We can slowly go through it. Now is another 8 minutes before it's 9:30. So we can still can have a short discussion before we have the toilet break. 2 or 3 minutes of toilet break. Okay, based on what I have gone through with you, I don't know how many months. I believe it's quite a while since March. March until now is 6 months, I think. 6 months, because we started in maybe 18th of March is the first day of MCO. Maybe immediately that week or 1 week later, I forgot already. So anyway, 6 months to cover the Heart Sutta short notes is just right. You learn more. You can develop deeper understanding. We are not in a hurry, not like in a retreat. Within the 8 or 9 days, I had to run through the whole thing. But the retreat has its special condition. Even though within the 8-9 days, I try to take you through the whole thing, but the continuity of training over the 8 days or 9 days of full meditative session, we call it retreat condition, can be very different, can be very penetrative for people who are serious. That's why it has this pro and con. But maybe it's meant to be, this MCO give rise to condition. For those who have been through the retreat, this is like a very good revision for you. And this revision also bring about many conditions for a lot of Kayamita to really go all out to develop the training, the progress. Because there are some Kayamitas who has actually done it. And many of them attribute it to this MCO. Otherwise, they will not have the condition to do all this. Then with the sharing from a few of them, especially Sister Po Cheng, I think it has great impact on many Kayanamitas. So if you really have the faith, the sincerity, and you really walk towards it through perseverance, the Dhamma will unfold, you will progress, and you will awaken. Then always remember, do not be complacent. Continuously develop this understanding. Then the daily mindfulness stabilizes it and contemplate the Dhamma, reflect until the wisdom become very clear, very stable, until your yoniso manasikara is spontaneous and very fast. The more stable your understanding is, the more spontaneous you will understand things. Then at the moment of sense experience, you have no more problem. Otherwise, like what I explained, initially, it's like the Dhamma is already there, the understanding. But when you try to remember, you cannot, because it's not memory. So a lot of people worry they forget. So the first mistake they make is after they develop some program, they try to memorize all this teaching. No need. Don't go and waste your time. When you awaken at that moment, you have the understanding already. Then the understanding is connected to your form and mind. So at the moment of sense experience, in the midst of life, when you encounter any situation or life condition, that understanding will surface. But if it's still not stable initially, when it surfaces, the habitual tendency you realize will still be there. But straight away after you understand, it ceases. Like what happened to Song many times. So all this is okay. Let it arise. So you learn, you find out. Yeah, it's still slow. Because these are habitual tendency, not easy to root out, cannot be overnight root out. That's why when the Uniso Manasikara arise, then it prompts you, then it understand that it stopped. A lot of cultivators, as they go through, when they do the sharing and all three, they tend to share with me, like that they ain't be also same. You remember somebody consulted her on the chanting? Then that person who consulted her got a different understanding. Then he has his view and all things. Then as he say that, he can sense it, the feeling, the sensitivity of her mindfulness, that inside the heart area there, the emotion, the stirring wanted to move already. But straight away, the Yoniso Manasikara came. He is the way he is. Condition like that, things be like that. Then straight away, that movement or the emotion subside. Then cease. Then after that, she was able to maintain that tranquility, that peace within. So wisdom is about having the understanding to be at peace with situation that arise in life. So if you can be at peace with all situation, means you have perfect Dhamma, then you will have no more problem. By then, your mind does not stir, does not react. Initially, the habitual tendency, it can still arise for a while, but the moment the Yoniso Manasikara arise, you straight away should understand. If you cannot straight away understand, means the stability of wisdom is not stable yet, then you reflect and contemplate, then you add in a few more. Sankara anicjang, sankara dukkang, dhamma anatta. Then it will cease. Then sometimes, think also like that, don't think also like that. Because sankara, anicjang, anatta. Then only mighty nature rolling by, he know you, he know me, five aggregate of form and mind. He know you, he know me. That one is very powerful. Then when you have that understanding, the stability of understanding over time will develop. Then you will understand clearly that this form and mind is not what you think. And that stability of understanding is so transformative and beautiful. Then after that, whatever you do, there is no more fear, no more worry, no anxiety or what. Because it understands this is just a vehicle and a tool for my mind. No reality, not what you think. So this stability is very important. And my nature is really joyful. We have many Kalyamita who has progressed. They start to share with me this initial part that they came to know through their own mindfulness, sensitivity and awareness. Even Song also went through. But it also gave rise to condition for me to teach and to share. Because unless people go through this, I can't share. Especially Song's case, where I point out to him many years back, don't ever go back to your mundane mind to think, to analyze. So now he understands. And because of his condition, other Kayamita also developed the understanding. I think Padmasuri, Engbi, they all, many. So even in below understand, that's why you say, when you start to analyze, when you start to reason, what will happen? It will give rise to difference of opinion. It will not solve your problem. It is from the thought. It's thought based. So no amount of analysis and reasoning can solve your problem. The thing is just the way it is. He is the way he is. How can he listen to you? Understand? You go and analyze and reason and try to explain. No use. But he is the way he is. Unless he has Dhamma, he will understand. Then he will not argue. Well, he know you, he know me. No reality. Sankara anicca, sankara dukkang. Dhamma anatta. Everything is anatta, not what you think. Not a permanent unchanging entity, no reality. Empty. Empty nature existence. When you come, when you are born into this world, you come empty. When you leave empty. So in between, why do you grieve over emptiness? So all this contemplative wisdom are very powerful. Then the three period of time, past, present, and future, you have established, contemplate until very clear. The only reality is the present moment. And what is the present moment? How stable is it? Split second is dead and gone. So how real can life be? That is the highest in life. They arise and pass away so fast. By the moment you are aware, it's gone. So if this is the highest in life, the only reality, then how real can life be? We are moment to moment, life passes by. Moment to moment, split second is day and gone. Split second is day and gone. It's just moment to moment, every moment, every moment. So who are you? What are you? What is consciousness? What is thought? What are the aggregates of mind? What is awareness? Understand all this until very, very clear. Then the whole Dhamma unfolds. Then you become transformed. You become different. Thing is just the way it is. Ta-ta-ta, suchness. Everything is just the way it is. No need to do anything. That's why I just echo and flow. He know you. He know me. Everything is just suchness. Ta-ta-ta. So beautiful. So now we will continue. Maybe we finish off Appendix 1. That will be very useful. Appendix 1 is the Heart Sutta. The Heart of Prajnaparamita Sutta. So this one is the English translation. If you know Mandarin, you can also read the Mandarin. This English translation is a great improvement over the various type of other translation. Now, there are a lot of translation for Heart Sutta, but most of them are not clear. The English word equivalent that they use, they are not standardized and not clear. But this one, I have modify it and make it very different. Okay, I will read to you. The Heart of Prajnaparamita Sutta, Singjing. Prajna is wisdom. Paramita is perfection. So perfection of wisdom. The Heart of Perfection of Wisdom Sutta. Prajnaparamita Sutta. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisatta, so this Avalokiteshvara Bodhisatta is Kuan Yin actually, was cultivating the profound Prajnaparamita, he illuminated the five skandhas. Five skandhas here means the five aggregates. In Pali is called skandhas, but in Sanskrit, the Mahayana version, they call it Kandas. Yeah. So here the spelling is the five kandas. He illuminated the five skandas. We will pronounce our Theravada one. and saw that they are all empty, and he crossed beyond all suffering and difficulty. See here, the word illuminate means the light of wisdom illuminate. Is he insight into that reality? Is the five aggregate of form and mind? He was able to use his wisdom light to insight into it. Then he realized that they are all empty, no reality. That awakening takes across beyond all suffering and difficulty. So when you awaken, you can have the same understanding. So this Prajna Paramita is a very powerful sutta because it analyzes the whole of the, we call it the Dhamma that you need to understand. And all this Dhamma come from your heart. Your heart is where the seat of consciousness is. So the true mind is also there. There is a gateway to connect you to the true nature. Then the mundane mind also starts from there because it's a seat of consciousness. The arising of consciousness is from there. So these five skandhas, the five aggregates of form and mind, where you have the wisdom light, the mindfulness, the wisdom, the understanding, when you illuminate onto it, you can see very clearly that they are all empty, not what you think. Just like the Buddha's teaching, Rupang Anicchang, Rupang Anatta, Vedana Anicchang, Vedana Anatta, Sanya Anicchang, Sanya Anatta, Sangkara anicchang, sangkara anatta, viññanang anicchang, viññanang anatta. So these five aggregate, rupang, vedana, sanya, sangkara, viññanang. When you understand anicchang, you understand anatta. Then you will also understand dukkang, because suffering is when you cannot accept the reality. Because you want things your way, which is not nature's way. You are a little suffering. Then the second paragraph is most beautiful. Kuan Yin called upon Sariputta. He said, Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness, and emptiness does not differ from form. For form itself is emptiness, emptiness itself is form. So too are for feeling, cognition, formation and consciousness. These are the other four aggregates. Feeling is Vedana. Cognition is the Master Shenhua's sight. Instead of perceiving something, they recognize something. They call it cognition. It's actually the same word, Sanya. And formation is mental formation. The actual Pali word is Sankara. So if you use the Pali word, it will have less confusion. But the English equivalent, depending on which sectarian of Buddhism you are from, you may be a bit confused at times. But when you understand, it's the same. So here formation means mental formation. It's actually the Sankara activity. Not only mental formation, there are mental states. Your mental volition, your views, opinion, conditioning, all these are part of Sankara. That's why Sankara, there are 52 mind states. And the final one is consciousness. Consciousness is Vijnanam, the Pali word. So these four also has the same characteristic. They are also empty. So this paragraph is very profound. Unless you have insight into phenomena, you have awakened, you cannot understand. Otherwise, you will start to question, how can form be empty? So here, when Kuan Yin Bodhisattva to Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness, and emptiness does not differ from form. Why? Because form itself is actually emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. So all these are so beautifully spelled out. We have already gone through in the earlier teaching. There are many ways to explain why form itself is emptiness. The first and most simple one is the space that form occupy and the emptiness space, they are actually the same. So before the form occupy that space, you call it empty, isn't it? But the space is always there, even though it's empty. Then the form come in. Then you ask yourself, this form, is it emptiness or form? If you look at it, the two occupy the same, isn't it? So this form does not differ from the empty space, because they occupy the same space. And emptiness also does not differ from that form. Why? Because form itself is empty. Why? Because it's dependent originating, condition arising, not a permanent unchanging entity. It come and it go. It arise and it pass away. So when you have the wisdom and the understanding born of direct seeing, then that understanding becomes so profound. That's why you can understand this. Form does not differ from emptiness, and emptiness does not differ from form. Why? For form itself is emptiness, emptiness itself is form. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. So you investigate into all these aggregates. They really stand up to investigation, not what you think. This table, everything that you can perceive, they are like very solid form in even the human body. Is it real? Is it really what you think? How do you know this form? How do you perceive it? The table or whatever, or the chair or the human body. You perceive it through consciousness, isn't it? Externally, already condition arising, causal phenomena, not so real. And how do you know there is a table? You perceive it. So that perception is just a mental image. How real can that mental image be? It come and it go. Split second is gone. So externally, already condition arising, not so real, not what you think. Yeah, this one is not a permanent unchanging entity. You cannot cling, you cannot hold. It goes the way of nature, like your physical body. Then how do you come to know about it? Just through consciousness. This image is even more unreal, isn't it? Then the question is, why do you grasp onto it? Why do you cling onto it? Why do you give so much meaning to it? That's the reason why the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So creation comes through mind consciousness. That's why our phenomenal world is a phenomenal world of consciousness, no reality. And what is consciousness? Image. Come and go, come and go. That's why it's empty. How real can it be? Without mind, nobody knows you. Your entity erased. How famous are you? How special are you? Got no meaning if there is no mind to cognize that. So all these are dependent originating condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why civilization come and go. Our birth and death. Billions and billions and billions and eons of birth and death. They come and they go. Which one is you? All the segmented line. Adirium. There is no reality. Only mighty nature ruling by. Dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, no reality. So see it, understand it. Do not be deceived or deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness. By what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile, feel and think. There is such thing as present moment awareness, consciousness. That is what life is all about. Moment to moment, life passes by. And you can really live it, that moment, so beautiful. And every moment can be very pristine, very wonderful and beautiful. If you have the awareness, the wisdom and the understanding, then even though it's the conditioned world, impermanent, empty, not what you think, but there is such thing as life, there is such thing as a form and mind, having the experience moment to moment. That's why the third phase of Dhamma has its own reality, Pativeda. Even though it's finally still impermanent, empty, yes. But those moments can be lived. There is a living reality. Those moments can be experienced by the form and mind. And they can be very wonderful, very beautiful, very meaningful. That's what life is all about. You have to understand the condition and the unconditioned. When you understand both, then you can come to the conditioned world, manifest as a form and mind, and have this type of Dhamma understanding and wisdom, and live life to your fullest. That's why life can be very beautiful. And I've been sharing this with my wife, my daughter, and they understand. That's why there is such beauty in life. It doesn't mean that everything is impermanent, lead to suffering, empty, no reality, then life like very boring. Then what for? Nobody get enlightened. Everything is suffering. What is the purpose of life? No meaning. But not what you think. When you have the wisdom and the understanding, life is really wonderful, beautiful, meaningful. And you can live those moments, even though it's impermanent within the conditioned world. But there is life, there is its own set of reality within the conditioned world. The conditioned world has its own Dhamma. The conditioned world has its own understanding. That's why it's very beautiful. And you can really come and live life, and life can be really wonderful, beautiful, meaningful. And you can really live life to the fullest. Experience life to the fullest. Every moment, every instant, you can experience the pristine beauty and wonders of life. You can be with the moment in such beautiful mind state, tranquility, stillness, awareness, that joy. That beautiful mind state, that wisdom and the understanding, everything is just the way it is. No matter what happens, it is so pristine, so beautiful, so meaningful. And you can really, really live. You can be like a normal person, the third phase of the moon. Kan san yu si san, you come back to normality again. That everything is just the same. If you really have the Dhamma, you can really go through that type of life. And very few people understand that. To normal people, you are like a normal living being. But they will never, never expect that you have such wisdom and understanding. So life is just the Dhamma understanding behind. When you have the Dhamma understanding behind, you are so different. You are so beautiful. You understand, that's why you know how to come. And when you know how to come, you know how to live. You know how to really make full use of the form and mind, and everything can be very beautiful, very meaningful, and very wonderful. Okay, so we read on. Sariputta, all dhammas are empty of characteristics. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor decrease. This is the most beautiful explanation of Dhamma. All dhammas are empty of characteristics. There is no mark inside them. So empty of characteristic means there is no characteristic at all, because this Dhamma is referred to the unconditioned Dhamma. From the unconditioned, you look at all these things, they are empty, not what you think. But within the conditioned world, the Buddha talked about the three universal characteristics. Anicca, dukkha, anatta. That one exists within the existential world. That's why the existential world has the Four Noble Truths. Existential world has old age, sickness, and death, has birth, has enlightenment, has all the old age, sickness, and death. All this, they exist, has the Dhamma. But within the unconditioned is the complete opposite. That's why within the unconditioned, they are not produced, not destroyed, because it's unconditioned, not defiled, not pure, not wholesome or unwholesome, neither increase nor decrease. Then the fourth paragraph explains everything. Therefore, in true emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no formation, no consciousness. Means the five aggregate of form and mind, they don't exist. Rupang, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, they don't exist. Then likewise, the sense bases, they also don't exist. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, and no mind. Then the sense data also does not exist. No sight, no sound, no smell, no taste, no object of touch or dhammas. No feel of the eye means the consciousness part, up to and including no feel of mind consciousness. And no ignorance, and the ending of ignorance, up to and including no old age, no sickness, no death, and ending of old age, sickness, and death. And they move on to the next paragraph. There is no suffering, no accumulation, no cessation, and no path that leads to the end of dukkha, means the Four Noble Truth. Four Noble Truth also doesn't exist. And no understanding and no attaining, because nothing is attained. The Bodhisattva, through reliance on this Prajna Paramita, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid. And he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind. Ultimately, he attained Nibbana. So this is how the realization can come. The realization of Nibbana, the cessation of form and mind. The form and mind that goes through that cessation, and when it returns and come out, it will understand clearly what the unconditioned is. Really within there, because all this that exists in the conditioned world, they don't exist there. The Dhamma, the Four Noble Truth, all our beautiful teaching, the unconditioned will say, this one all not real, empty, no reality. That's why you must understand the unconditioned. Then when you come to the condition, you will not be deceived. Then you will know this form and mind is chemically conditioned, a vehicle and a tool for you to come. It's not your nature. He know you, he know me. That's why this is not real, not a permanent unchanging entity. You cannot grasp, you cannot cling. But it's a vehicle and tool for you to come, to do what you want to do, to go through life, to go through karma, to experience life, to cultivate, to perfect yourself, to develop the awakening, the wisdom, then to live, to to fulfill your duty, your vow, everything. Then you will understand what the form and mind is all about. Form and mind is subject to karma, even though not a reality. He know you, he know me, not you. But it's connected to you, karmically connected. That's why it's subject to karma. So you cannot simply do things within the condition world. It has this condition dhamma. You have to understand that. And you have to abide by it. That's why you need to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, etc. Following the way for power. You cannot simply do things. So this understanding is very beautiful. Yeah. Then when you have that complete understanding, you are no longer deluded. That's why with that wisdom, you are unimpeded. The Bodhisattva, through reliance on this Prajnaparamita, perfection of wisdom, is unimpeded in his mind because there is no impediment. He is not afraid. Really true. And he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind. So ultimately, the realization of the oneness nature, realization of Nibbana, that all Buddhas of the three period of time attain Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi through reliance on Prajna Paramita. See, all Sammasambuddha of the three period of time, they attain the perfection of Sammasambuddha through reliance on this perfection of Prajna Paramita, means perfection of wisdom. Therefore, know that this Prajna Paramita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can root out all suffering. It is genuine and not false. That is why the mantra of Prajna Paramita was spoken. Recite it like this. Gate gate parasam gate. Oh, sorry. Gate gate paragate parasam gate bohi swaha. So this one you can recite it if you want to. It's a very good mantra. You can develop affinity with Kuan Yin's nature. Gate gate paragate parasam gate bohi swaha. Okay, down there, Appendix 2 is the Mandarin version. That one, they have developed the Heart Sutta chanting, the song, which is very well, I think, you call it, somebody who writes song. Composed, very well composed. The melody and all those things. Guan Zi Zai Pu Sa. Then continue. Polo, polo, mito, sing, sing. So this one we have actually gone through last night at the retreat. We chant many times. Then on Kuan Yin's birthday, on many of the important celebrations, we also chant them, combined with the what they call Tao Pei Zhou, great compassionate mantra. Then there's also another one, they call it great compassionate mantra also, but the Pali version, Maha Karuna Dharani. Maha Karuna Dharani. So all these are very beautiful. Okay, at the retreat, we have people who can chant and lead. Then we chant simultaneously together, and it's so beautiful. The vibration that come out, the condition at that time was so beautiful. That's the reason why for the past so many years of our retreat, they are all so beautiful. And a lot of special beings, they actually came, rejoiced and supported us. And together, we really have that type of synergy, joy, and a lot of Dhamma protectors. And the nature, the weather, the condition, everything was so beautiful. Everything just fall into place. Okay. Oh, exactly 10:03. We can stop. Right? So let us rejoice. Right? We stop here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Now we will open up for reporting of meditation. Then you can also ask questions if you want to. Okay. Now we open up. I remember Ingby entrusted me with her right to nominate somebody. So I hold that authority tonight. So I will choose one of you. Yun Chan, yours is the nearest to me. Yun Chan, are you there? Yun Chan?
Yes, Brother Teo.
Yes, you have the privilege to report meditation or share or ask questions.
Oh dear.
Just based on what we have done, the whole Heart Sutta. So what is your sharing? How do you receive it? How do you find it? Is it clearer than the retreat where we go through and all those things?
Yeah, it's clearer.
Yeah,
it's clearer now. Yeah. And I thought you gave a very good summary tonight.
Yeah, because it's towards the end. I have to really give you the summary. Constant reminder. The whole teaching is there. It tied up with the Whole Heart Sutta. Actually, the Whole Heart Sutta is from there when you understand what I share with you, that complete picture is from the Heart Sutta, actually. Because the Heart Sutta had the understanding of the unconditioned and the conditioned. That's the reason why I say the Four Noble Truths is so beautiful. It summarizes to us all of life, both the conditioned and the unconditioned. So when you understand the Four Noble Truths, you understand the secret of life. You know how to live life. And that is basically what the Heart Sutta is all about. Understanding the unconditioned and the conditioned number. That's why it's so beautiful. And all the teaching that I share with you come from that Heart Sutta.
It's not so easy to apply though.
Oh, definitely, because you need to cultivate. There are three phases of Dhamma. Stage one, at least, I think by now, Pariyatti is very, very clear. Then most of you have gone into stage two, Patipatti, putting it into cultivation. But every Kayamita is at different stages. There are some who has gone very far and did very well. That's why my nature rejoiced. Then also with this understanding, it will make your second phase, Patipatti, easier, a lot easier. Then when later on, when you connect or when you develop the stability of mindfulness, all this can be understood very fast. Then you progress. You awaken very fast. This is the intent. That's why I realized this type of sharing, I don't have to hurry. I have all the time to share. So this sharing is very important and very meaningful, very beautiful. And it's all recorded, properly documented in our website. Then also we have short video. So if you really pay attention, listen, and develop the understanding, write down your notes, stabilize the understanding, then you become different. Your cultivation become different. You were no longer like last time with a lot of questions and all those things. No longer. And you are very clear. Then when you listen to Dhamma, different already. Whether that Dhamma that you listen is clear or to the point or beating around, you will know. Then whether they contradict themselves or what, you will also know. Because when you have the clear understanding, it's so different. The real Dhamma is so different.
Thank you very much. sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu. You have anything to say or not? Jin Chan, yeah.
Huh?
you can say, use your own word, any aspect of it. Yeah?
No, I... it's just that it's clearer now, but I've been listening to your teaching for so many years.
Yeah.
So it's getting clearer, but still it is the
cultivation.
The cultivation.
Yeah, that one you really need to develop the stability of mindfulness. Mm. The stability of daily mindfulness is number one most important.
Mm.
Unless that one come about, the real Dhamma cannot really unfold. The real understanding cannot unfold.
Mm-hmm.
That stability of mindfulness will create a sensitivity of mind that can see clearly, that can understand. Then the step 4 and step 5 of Avijja Sutta can materialize. Because without that initial wisdom through reflection, contemplation, and constant hearing of the Dhamma, you cannot reach the stability of daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. So these two are interconnected. So initially, listen to Dhamma, straighten your view, like what Pucheng shared with you. Then do your daily religious routine. Then develop the what they call stability of daily mindfulness. Also, persevere. Make your vow, make your aspiration, then develop that faith very strongly, then vow and strive on with heedfulness to develop all this understanding. So the religious routine will give you the condition to train yourself to develop the stability of daily mindfulness. Then after that, whenever you are alone initially, yeah, living life, determined to be aware, determined to be aware. Then every morning, your religious routine, meditate before you sleep, when you wake up. Then when you are at your altar, pay respect, develop the daily mindfulness. Go about doing your daily chores or whatever. And for those who are working, even when you drive, when you are in the office, develop daily mindfulness. Stabilize it. Until your mind is heedful throughout the day, spiritual faculty very stable, hindrance no more, like Pocheng went through. He realized the mind is so quiet, so tranquil, so still, no more hindrance. Then it can observe, see and understand, just like that. No more problem. Last time he used to have all those mind state, now all gone, no more. Everything has transformed because of the understanding.
Mm. And she's very good.
Yeah, she progressed very fast.
Mm.
She really very determined. And she was full of joy when she was able to have that understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Then she gave a lot of encouragement to you all. Encouraging all the Kayamita. If she can do, everybody can do. really. Very good. So anything else to add, Yichan?
Nothing. You have to work on it oneself.
Yeah. You have to really strive on with faithfulness. The daily mindfulness. Stabilize that. Because the initial wisdom, I think, after your daily mindfulness stabilize, step 4 and 5, actually, they move together. They move together. As you develop step 4, your step 5 will develop. Then as you develop step 5, you see more things, you understand more things. Then your step 4, your yonisop manasikara become more stable. Then after that, when your yonisop manasikara become more stable, less stirring of mind, your sati sampajana become more stable again. Until the mind enters sati. Then you will understand everything. After that, no matter what you do, you are always in the meditative state. When your mind enters sati, everything is in sati. Then you will see the difference in you. Your mind state is the meditative state. throughout the day, even when you go to sleep, relax, silent, aware, you can meditate. Then later on, you can decide if you want to really sleep, you can shut off and sleep. Otherwise, you can remain in awareness. Now, a lot of Kayamita who has progressed, they start to share with me when they lie down and sleep, they can meditate. Then morning, they wake up, they meditate in the lying posture and all those things. And the stability of it has become very different. Their mind can become so quiet, so still. You must stabilize the awareness nature. The awareness nature is just a nature inside there, not your thought, not your thinking. The mundane mind is the one that is very active. Throughout the day, human beings think a lot. But when you are a cultivator, it becomes reverse. The thinking part is become like hardly any. Then most of the time, you are just aware, aware, aware inside, until very stable. Like Po Ching say, 1 hour complete, no thought, nothing. No hindrance, nothing, just that nature. Then when you stabilize it until that stable, that nature can insight into phenomena, can awaken, can understand, can observe. That's why the daily mindfulness become very different. The mind become very sensitive, it can feel, it can sense, and many things can happen. Okay? Oh, I muted. Yeah, David, you can come in, yes.
Can you hear me, Rajan?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I just spoke last week, so nothing special yet.
Okay.
But just
what
keep
is
up.
your sharing part on this Heart Sutta classes, the sharing that we have done over the past few months? We have completed the Heart Sutta short notes. How does it impact you, and does it make your understanding better and all those things? It's just a general feedback from Kayamita.
I think it's very good because I follow the
sharing.
Yeah. The way you teach. I think that I can find that there's a improvement.
Yeah, you thought your meditation improved.
Yeah, that's right.
You can sit now for half an hour to 1 hour. Last time you can't sit at all.
Yeah, correct.
Because you know how to make use of the 4 support, the first 2, relax and just maintain awareness. Then what about the instruction?
Instruction is very, very simple.
Very simple, very good.
The main thing actually, I find that I benefit most is actually more on my daily life and especially my work.
Yes, that one will help you.
Yeah, that's right.
You will actually feel a lot of joy. Yeah? It helps you to understand life.
Yeah.
Your daily life, your work, and it makes you more efficient. Yeah, when your mind is more calm, have more clarity, you become more efficient.
Yeah, it's true because you are more energetic. Everything you have a sense of urgency.
Yeah,
anything you want to do, you just do it and you finish it.
Sahadu,
And
you no longer like worry about it anymore.
Yes. That's right. No worries.
Anxiety, the negative mind state, all those things won't help you solve the problem. No amount of fear, worry, anxiety can help you. That's why don't waste time on that mind state. And that mind state is a very negative one, full of evil rural. So now you understand, you just need to work towards it.
Yes.
Mindfully do it. Then you realize you become more efficient. Then you become better person because you just do your duty. You need to finish, you finish. You don't want to argue with people anymore. No more of the negative type of division or analysis or what they call reasoning and try to be right. All those things will not be helpful, won't be useful. So what is more important is how we can perform our duty, do our duty so that we can be of benefits to the organization, to the company, so that we can develop harmony with our colleagues and all those things. So you apply Noble Eightfold Path. So all these are Dhamma in daily life. And I really rejoice with your ability to apply in that way. Sadhu to you. Huh?
Yeah, you are right. Because I feel happier. And also the work are easier to do.
Easier.
There's very little very little obstructions.
Your karma becomes better.
Correct. Yeah.
More things go your way. Yeah, because you have goodness already. You have kindness, you have understanding.
So I'm still keeping up,
you continue with your training and understanding, then you continue to apply this understanding into your daily life. It will help you a lot.
Yes.
Sadhu to you, David.
Thank you.
My daughter now want to share. Let my daughter share on the thing. Yeah.
Okay. I think the part about the illuminating the five skandhas brought something to mind. The seeing the mundane mind is the five skandhas, is the five aggregates of form and mind, which is the both aspects, the physical world as well as the mental world, how we perceive the world. That analogy illuminating it is actually very, I think everybody experienced it very differently. Something came out today that prompted me to share. For me, the experience was like being able to see the building blocks of my psyche. I would phrase it that way because it's like I see the bits that form my personality and how it creates the backdrop that sets my version of reality around that personality. And when I see how these building blocks come about, I can actually recognize the unhealthy ones. And I can actually change that. And that itself is straightening your view. And that is how I really find it very beneficial. The whole world changed around me because I changed my whole backdrop and my whole personality.
Very good. Okay, thank you so much. Oh, she described it very well, huh? With a lot of clarity. This is added sharing. Yeah? This one also, I never contemplated that way. Because you can understand what she say, I tell you, you will become beautiful. You will transform faster. Your whole background or your perception of the world, the building block that created your thinking, created your mundane conditioning, views and opinion. That is how you perceive the world. That's how you see the world. That's how you interact with the world based on your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. Then now he starts to see clearly all these are negativity of mind state that she hold on from the past. Then when she dropped them through straightening of view and now introduce all the beautiful Dhamma mind state and understanding and light view, she starts to perceive the world with a new understanding, with a new reality. Then she created her own world of Dhamma, filled with Dhamma, to develop the clear understanding of life. Then later on, she will know how to apply, like what I say, the conditioned and the unconditioned. Then she can use the unconditioned understanding to live life within the conditioned world. Then her whole perception of life become different. So we should all rejoice. Very good sharing by all. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The last part that my daughter shared, go and listen to it again. Then reflect and develop the deep understanding. Then see how you actually look at the world. How do you have the building block that allow you to perceive the world that way? Then now with the Dhamma understanding, how you straighten your view, transform, and have a different perspective of the world and the understanding of what life is. And these are very beautiful Dhammas teaching. And it can transform a person very fast. Because you look at the big picture now. Now you no longer analyze thought process by thought process. You look at the whole of your mundane mind, the whole of your consciousness, how you actually perceive the world, how you get to know the world, the building block behind. And that is what you are. Because the summation of all those things is what you are. And when you had the Dhamma, the wisdom, when you straighten your view, all these building blocks that actually created your views and opinion of things or perception of things transform to become different. And when you can insight into phenomena, awaken, and with the understanding of the unconditioned, you apply it to the condition, you become so beautiful, so different. Sadhu, eh? Let us rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yes, PG.
Good evening, Brachio.
Yes.
And all Paramita.
Sadhu. Yes.
I would like to say thank you
to
sadhu. The people who are responsible for getting the Asuta printed.
Zoom video.
I think it has benefited many people.
Yes, yes, yes.
Including me.
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Not only you, all Paramita.
It makes our life so much different.
Yeah. So much easier.
The teachings are such that even though we do not cultivate until we are able to, in the stage of party, but we are still able to have better awareness that affects our life.
Yes.
In our private lives, in our work, especially our work, because that's when you will really see how your mind becomes so active.
Correct, yes. Like David sharing, the daily life thing help you all a lot. Because with this understanding, you tend to live your life differently. And that is the beginning of transformation, beginning of change. When you have the Dhamma, you will know how to follow the advice of the Buddha, apply Noble Eightfold Path. So these are the very essential cultivation when you started. That will start to change your life. Like David went through, he realized he become more calm, more peaceful, he can meditate. Then when he applied this in the office, the work also like become easier, more simple. Then he realized those negativity of mind state that he used to carry now no more. He is more at peace, more harmony, more aware, like you say, of your inner character, mind state, everything. Then you start to feel for people.
And the mind is more silent, Brachio.
Sadhu. If you can do that, means your patipati has actually taken off. Means you are more mindful, more heedful, you are more patient to listen. You no longer everything want to be right. Everything wants to command.
Yeah, and also you can see, especially when the negativity arrives.
You can sense it,
yeah.
Right?
You can see it more, so much more
clearly.
You tell yourself, wow.
Yeah.
So, of course, we become more careful of the way and arise our thoughts.
Correct, yes. Well, this is awareness. When you are aware that this negativity of mind state, which has the evil root, has a reason, then you have to do something. It's just like the foreign effort. Then you have to reflect and contemplate, why are you still there? Then you will improve. In future, when I have similar situation, after you reflect and contemplate, you will know how to apply Noble Eightfold Path. You will know how to resolve it. Otherwise, you raise your voice, speak harshly, it doesn't benefit anybody. It creates more problems,
more
misunderstanding, more enmity, all those things. Yeah. Especially meeting. Very good. Sadhu to you. PJ, anything else?
Sadhu to all who helped to get the Satsuta in place.
Sadhu.
May this merit, bring about your cultivation,
to realize to realize their good and noble wishes.
Yes. Thank you so
sadhu.
Much.
Good night, sadhu. Thank you, Viji, for the good sharing. Okay, very good, sadhu. So at least we have some good comments from PG. So we really should have gratitude. Thank all those that have made the Heart Sutta possible. I think a lot of people involved. The main one is Miss Lee, because she was the one that is responsible for writing out the short notes for my editing. Then later on, of course, we should thank all the group of people who helped us to finalize the document, to actually do the proofreading. After I edit, do the proofreading, then retype it out. I remember that time many people were involved, in MB, Pamasuri, Brother Teo, then Man Yuan, and many other people. I cannot remember all. So all these people actually help out. Then when we compile them, we realized there were 41 chapters. We have a lot of good appendix and more. And then later on, I think Song also helped. Some of the appendix thing put in, because Song said these short notes are all very beautiful, very important. Then the chart. I think a lot of the chart are created by Miss Lee also. So we should thank them. Then later on, the website. The website also very important. The Zoom and all those things. Without all these people, all these are not possible. That's how you start to develop the understanding. When it's meant to be, condition will arise, things will arise, kayamita will arise. Then those who are supposed to help and contribute, they will arise. Then all this will fall into place. Then you get to receive them. So whatever you do this night will become your parami. So in future, all this wholesomeness, good parami, will come in handy for you in the future. In the future, you will receive Dhamma very easily. And you will receive the right Dhamma, the true Dhamma. You will not go astray. Especially if you have followed the teaching, taken the Bodhisattva vow, then aspire for causes and conditions to, for you to have this type of right view and right understanding life after life, whenever you choose to come or you have to come. So plant the seed of Bodhi firmly with faith, then be sincere, strive on with heedfulness, persevere. Then all this will become good condition to benefit your future coming and future cultivation. Then you all will progress well. That's why you all should have more gratitude, rejoice more. Then cultivate, strive on with heedfulness. Okay?